Blog Talk Radio.
Whoa. I'm trying to get the bass going back and bringing the bass back. Talk radio. Yes. All right. So we're excited to be back talking tonight. We are again coming to you live from Waco, Texas. This is where a lot happened in 1981 in Little League, and this story that we're going to talk about tonight is something that we've been needing to get on record. It's something that is very important to the history of Eastern Little League. We're talking about the story of every kid dreams about winning your championship, winning your tournaments, and winning the state title. So tonight we are going to get the Eastern Legends, as my friend Jim Hamilton calls them, Eastern Legends. We've got several of them on the line tonight. We're going to learn what it was like back in 1981 and prior to 1981 as we relive that era and as we try to rebuild and create the vision for those who don't remember much about that. I mean, that was 34 years ago. A lot of players today, they don't know about a 1981 championship team. Someone on Facebook, I put this interview broadcast tonight on my Facebook page, and someone else said that they didn't even know. They were born in 1981. So, you know, I'm anxious to bring this out. Now, when I first started talking to Jim Hamilton about this, he's the current president of the league, but he talked about Eastern Legends. He talked about these baseball players who just rocked. They would come out to this music and just be intense. That they talk about playing down in the hole and the atmosphere and the energy and everything about what Little League baseball was for the community. And then all of a sudden it was gone. And so somehow we are going to pull the pieces back together. We're going to get the story directly from the players, directly from the people who were there. And we're creating a documentary. This documentary, we've interviewed board members, previous coaches from this championship team. And all the way across, there's a theme that resonates. And the thing you keep hearing over and over again was respect. There was a level of respect that the players had for the coaches had for the players. There was, yes, it wasn't always easy, and yeah, they had a lot of the same issues that they had to deal with then that we still have to deal with today. But they talk about a different era, and so we're gonna talk to these players, give you an idea of who we have. We've got Rodney Irvin, we've got Andral Gooden, Michael Shores, Reggie Miller. And we do have someone else who just called in, but I will say that make sure that your background noise is turned down and you're not on speakerphone, and I'll activate your microphone and you can tell us who you are. Last four phone number, 0019.
That's Melvin Thomas.
All right, Melvin Thomas. Well, I thank all of you first for taking the time to come on the program tonight, because, you know, your story is inspiring. What you guys did, the way that you did it, the impact that it made in the community, in the city, in the state, you know, it was a big impact, but today it seems to somewhat, seems to have faded. And I want to talk about what it was about those earlier days that made you guys so successful? And you guys, anyone can just jump in.
Well, I can say, when Tom was speaking, I can say back in the day, we didn't have the technology and everything that the youth have today as far as Xbox, PlayStation. Back in the day, we had each other. And we get out in the fields, we play our games, baseball, football. We were all as one. Back in Cameron Park, I mean, when we didn't have any baseball games going on, we just go down there to have fun and then be with each other. And it so happened, you know, a team was put together back then from different organizations, little leagues that we were in, and was, you know, created an all-star team. Mm-hmm. And once we got together as one, taking the best players from each team that we had in the little league, I mean, we combined into one, and since then we were like just all brothers back then. We had each other.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's, you know, that, and I believe that's one of the reasons why we went as far as we did back then.
Because you knew that you had each other's back. You knew that you could count on the next player, and they could count on you.
That's correct. That's correct. Let me see. Back then, we had each other. I said we didn't have all the technology that the kids have these days, and that made us closer together. You know, as a closer bond for us.
Mm-hmm. What was it like playing in the hole, as Jim calls it?
Down in the hole. I mean, that was awesome. And you know, I hate that it's not there today. Because, you know, that's a memory that we're going to always have, being able to drive on 4th Street and make that little right turn and go down in that big old deep ditch that was maybe like about 15 feet deep and come back up on the other side where the playing fields were. I mean, that was awesome. That was truly awesome. And I believe that all the other guys can pretty much vouch for it as well.
Yeah, let's hear from some of your other guys. Rodney.
Well, this is Michael Shores. I'll weigh in. We had such great support. We had a great system from the concession stands to the coaches, and we had a lot of participation from parents and other kids. It was such a big deal, and it was just exciting for a kid to play down in the Eastern Little League.
So how long were you guys playing before you went to state? I mean, how long was a team assembled before it actually started playing and competing in the tournament?
We had been playing for since kids, you know, 7, 8 years old. We was playing with, you know, Coach Estelle and just playing basically every year. You know, that's the only thing we really knew, you know, was sports and baseball basically was one of our main sports. And we had somewhere to go, you know, during the summer time. And that was something that we just cherished. And it kind of blossomed as we found out who were the main players that Coach Miller was able to put together through the All-Stars. And that we didn't really, I don't think we understood what we was about to get into and the things we was about to accomplish, but we knew we were a great team. We knew that we had the talent to achieve the things that we wanted to achieve. But, you know, just we were still kids, you know, but we had a big heart, and we played hard for Coach Miller, who pushed us to the limit, and he made the right calls and the right moves to get us, you know, to that point to become champions.
Hmm. And Reggie, what do you think about, what was it that made you guys stand out, made you guys, you know, because there's a lot of good teams. There's a lot of great teams. But that's not enough. There's certain ingredients that go into making a championship team. Tell me what you saw.
Well, I think that one of the things that made us good was that everybody could play. And, you know, we were all friends. And baseball back in 81 to us was like basketball is now to the youth, you know, to the African-American youth. And we were just playing baseball. And, you know, the coaches put us in a great position to give us the fundamentals that we needed to put us in the position to win. And so, like Dee Dee mentioned, you know, we didn't know what we were getting into. All we knew was we were playing baseball, and it was something new, and it was a great experience for us. I think from round to round, we only realized what we were doing the deeper we got. And it was just one of those experiences where, you know, you hate to see what has transpired over the years in reference to Eastern Little League and, you know, how things have played out over the years. But that was a great time for the community. During those times, it was a time where the youth, you know, kind of all played the same sports together, had a good rapport, had a good relationship with one another. And I think that made a big difference in, you know, the success we had, you know, over the time. So,
well, it definitely does seem like football and baseball have, I mean, football and basketball have taken from the, you know, from the energy and from the awesomeness of baseball. I played Little League baseball. I played all the way up until I started playing in high school. But, you know, the things that you learn, the character building moments that you have, sometimes you know, if you're not good enough, you're going to sit on the bench. And if you're going to get off the bench, you're going to have to practice. Tell me what you guys' practices were like.
We were in a battle. We competed against, you know, other teammates, and we had to fight for our position. You know, it wasn't, you know, easy to come by because everybody had talent, and Coach Miller had to make difficult decisions when it came to selecting different players to play. But we had to battle. And we basically, during practice, we played like it was a game. We took things serious. And, you know, we knew that we could win because of the talent that we had. And we knew that we can go far. And we knew that we was in a position where any team was going to be tough for them to beat us, because we were taking talent from about five or six teams, and everybody could hit the ball and were very good contact hitters and very powerful hitters, you know. And Coach Miller, he could have put the lineup any kind of way, you know, because everybody had talent. And that was just a great year that we was able to experience, and we took advantage of it through the direction of Coach Miller and the others. And he made the right moves and gave us the things that we needed to make it that far.
Okay, hold on, man. Dee Dee, you say he gave y'all the right moves. What moves did he make? Do you remember who he put in lineup? What, you know, in the lineup? Who hit the game winning home run? Who did what?
Well, when we first started, I was batting three. And Brian Thomas was batting four. And later on, he switched me to clean up and let Brian Thomas bat third because I was a good contact hitter, and Brian Thomas was a good contact and powerful hitter. And so due to the fact he made that switch, it benefited us, you know, tremendously, along with, you know, Reggie Miller. I believe he batted first. And then you had, I believe. Who batted second? Was it
Ted Long?
Either Ted Long or Rico. And so those, he made those switches and he put the best guys where they needed to be when it came to the infield. You know, Rico was a great shortstop, and then he switched him to second base when Terry wasn't pitching. And so that way it gave, and then Melvin also contributed. You know, we just had all around good players that could field well, that was fast. You know, Rodney Irvin was very fast and quick, so he was in center field, had a great arm, you know, could hit the ball, very powerful hitter. And so we just clicked together for some reason, and it just worked out, you know, and Coach Miller knew what he had, and he knew how to put it together very well, and he's a big reason for our success.
Well, just to kind of expand on that, he made a couple of moves, and Rodney Irvin was probably the most talented player we had. I mean, he could hit, he could run, he could throw. I mean, it wasn't nothing that he could do. But he knew that he needed Rodney to go out there and run some balls down. But I said to this day, he's the most talented kid that I've ever been around. He had more talent in his one of his pinkies than I had in my whole body. And as far as Dede Gooden, Dede didn't have a lot of talent. But what Dede had was he knew how to play baseball. And he was a great contact hitter. And then one of the other moves that he did make was that I know the last game, the one that we wanted to go to, I believe, regionals, we weren't having a good game. I think Dee and Brian Cummins were the only ones that touched the ball. And I believe, and he'll kill me for this, I believe Melvin Thomas, he was about to cry before he even went up the bat.
He was about to cry.
I believe he actually was crying. And
yeah, because, I mean, wasn't nobody hitting the guy. I mean, we'd already – I mean, you play a whole game. I mean, the dude was bigger than Brian Cummins that was pitching. And Brian was one of the biggest guys, you know, around on our team. But this guy was bigger than Brian Cummins and threw harder than Brian.
That was like
a
major
the whole game. Yeah, I mean, the whole game, you know, wasn't nobody really getting no hit. So coming down to that point, I mean – yeah, I was crying. I was crying. You come down to the last deal where you got two outs. Who's on base? Diddy's on base and Reggie's on base, right?
Now, Rico was on base. He got a walk. And Brian Cummins was on first.
Right.
You on first.
I didn't touch the bases that game.
You was on first, Dede, and was Brian on second?
No, Rico was on
Rico
second.
Rico was on second.
And Brian
okay.
was on first.
Okay,
and,
so.
And after that, then I believe you struck out, and then somebody struck out.
No, that was a time when y'all was on base. I came up to bat, and it was like the last inning.
I'm talking about Reggie Miller. I believe he
because
I think he batted first.
Yeah,
because Rico batted ninth, and he got a walk, and then the next two batters, number one and number two, struck out, and then it was Brian Cummins. Brian Cummins hit the grounder down first baseline and went two legs, and I had struck out twice already against the dude all night. So
yeah,
I believe that's why Melvin was crying.
Yeah, here's the last ending. And, okay, I'm up to bat, and I'm still crying. It's two strikes, two balls, two outs. I'm up there still crying because I just know we're going to lose. Dude pitched the ball, and – I ain't really ever told nobody, but I think I closed my eyes when I swore. It just so happened I heard something like, tink, It was going around with a first base head up in the air. The wind was blowing to the right. That ball was curving down. It hit about 2 inches inside the in-base line.
You still got the bat, there. Right?
Nah, yeah. I didn't got the bat. After I hit that ball and it hit inside there, I think Didi Hewitt came already in. We won a game. I'm still running around the base because I didn't know what the hell was happening.
And missed the whole thing.
I missed the whole thing because if I hit the ball, I heard that tink, and then I saw where it landed. Rico came in, BB came in. I think by the time I realized what had happened, I was still running past second base, but everybody was already celebrating. I'm like, what everybody jump up and down for? We won, we won.
Was that the game against Victoria?
Yeah, that was the game against Victoria. Yeah. I was on third base.
That was a really tough team that we played right there. We played them over at Baylor.
Over at Baylor. I mean, everybody in Waco was there.
I didn't tell anybody this, but there were some people that was telling me that Victoria was bragging and saying that we wasn't going to beat them. And I didn't say anything to anybody, but they were talking to some of our fans and saying, ain't no way y'all going to beat us because we got the best pitcher in the world and y'all going to lose. And that basically got me pumped up, you know. But I didn't say that to any of you all, but they was talking bad about us like we was basically nobody, that we didn't have a chance to win the game.
Man, I think that was the toughest game we played the whole season. That was a tough team right there.
Yeah.
That's the team we beat to go to Florida, right? Yeah.
The question to your Reggie, I think I still got that bat. It's at mom and dad have somewhere.
That'd be a good one to get your hands on and hold on to. But, you know, that brings up the subject that's what baseball's all about. Those moments, there you were. You didn't have a choice. You couldn't just sit on the bench and wait it out and let someone go in your place. You had to step up to the plate, literally. That's where that phrase comes from. Step up to the plate and make it happen.
I said to myself, why me? Why it got to be me? Why come somebody else can't be bad? Because I knew I was going to strike out.
and you never know. That's why everyone always has to prepare, and that's why, you know, like coaches, they're so important to prepare everyone for that moment because you never know whose moment it's going to be. It could be the third baseman catching the ball that goes right down the line and keeps the runner from. You never know who it's going to be, and that's what I love about baseball, and that's why, you know, I'm just shocked that for us it's so hard to get players to come out and play, and I don't get that. I don't know why we can't draw more players to the league. Part of this program and the intent of this DVD that we're putting together is to revitalize baseball because it seems like nobody cares about it.
Well, I think one of the issues is, and I'll go ahead and say I'm part of the problem because, and I've talked to Jim about this before, is, you know, that foundation and that support in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you just don't have, Jim's there, but you just don't have, you know, the Robert Millers and Tim Fosters and, the Mr. Billups and Naughty. You don't have those kind of guys in the community right now that will literally drive around and pick up every kid on the team, which that's what happened back in the day.
Pick
them up and take them home from practice and fed them if
Reggie,
they needed to. And
Reggie,
and
daddy had that white truck.
Yeah.
Remember, Reggie, your daddy had that white truck. He picked up everybody.
Right.
I tell people, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Reggie, but I tell people all the time, your father, I remember your father bought that truck brand new.
That white truck.
We literally tore that truck up, riding in the back of it and putting equipment in and getting dropped off every day and scratching it up. We did a little bit of everything, but he was so dedicated to us, and it paid off. His dedication
and
paid off. No.
One thing that I really appreciate is that I was able to, and I know he's a special guy, and he taught me a lot, but I know he taught my friends a lot. And, you know, he was dedicated to what he was doing. And he was invested in it. He was engaged in it. And, you know, he wanted to make sure that he gave everything he had to everybody. And sometimes, you know, I had to make some sacrifices. But you know, but for my friends, I appreciated it because, I mean, sometimes they needed him more than I did. So I didn't have a problem with that.
And, you know, we went around.
He was like a father to us, too.
Yeah. And that's what they say. A lot of these board members that we went and interviewed and different coaches that they felt that, yeah, it's one thing to teach baseball, but they really felt that their purpose was to touch, you know, to get to these kids so that they could somehow have a positive influence on them. And obviously they did it, and they did it right. And I have a lot of respect for what they did, especially back then, going against the grain, fighting all the way through, keeping the dream alive and building and building and year after year and growing. And getting a state championship, I mean, you know, when I talk to Jim, I wonder how could you win a state championship and then shortly after, it's not around anymore. I don't. And I ask this to a lot of the board members, and so, you know, we're putting this documentary together, and it's going to be awesome. I'm excited, but what I want to do is I want to go back. So we're halfway through our program. I'm going to go back again. So you just won state, basically. And now you realize you're going to Florida. What was that like?
It was a wonderful experience because I've never flew on a plane before. And we, at that particular time, we thought we were stars. You know, we getting ready to go. You know, we did think we were stars. You know, we have to admit that. We thought we were stars. You know, we was getting ready to go on a plane and, you know, flying out to Florida. And, you know, we had to get our stuff together and, you know, and we were going to be on the radio in Waco and all of that. And so we felt like we were, you know, stars at that particular time, but we was basically just seizing the moment, just enjoying ourselves and just using the talent and just playing the best that, you know, that we could play.
We could when we did get to Florida, we could have went further than what we did, but by us thinking that we were stars and we were just out there having a good time.
Yeah.
I mean, just enjoying the life. I mean, we have like major games going on up there, and we up there in the swimming pool, and Ted Long jumped in the water. It was too shallow. I'm a leg. So it was a Kevin Estelle. We were laying in the bunk. That's how you got a cramp. Oh, my leg. We had a real good time up there.
They treated us like stars, though. We got treated really well.
Yeah, but we could have went further, but we didn't take it serious as we should have. If we would have, I think we would have went much further than what we did when we got there. But,
yeah.
Hey, it was
Well, you know.
Yeah,
I heard something about that
pool party, you know.
Yeah, and I.
No, you heard about the pool party.
Yeah, in our defense, I think we just, you know, we were kids, and we got there, and we were good. I think we were satisfied. I don't think it was, we shut down. I think we just, you know, we were satisfied. We were happy. You're talking about, you know, 12 kids from the inner city getting to fly on a plane, and, you know, you're getting waited on and catered to, and your uniforms look like the Texas Rangers, and so it was an unbelievable moment for us. But you know, I think what was interesting is one of the team that we ended up getting beat by. I don't even know if the other guys know this or not, but Gary Sheffield was on that team.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, Sheffield played with Florida. And,
you know,
we got beat by South Carolina or something like that.
Yeah,
you know,
South
Carolina.
Wow.
I didn't know that.
Gary played with them.
But anyway, and like I said, that was the first time that a lot of us flew. And, you know, we got to stay in these dorms and bunk beds, and we just enjoyed ourselves, you know. And,
well, hold on now. You know, everybody making a big deal about this girl who was just this girl who, you know, played with the team in Chicago. But what about the girl who beat y'all?
I don't remember no girl who beat her.
We didn't play against no girl.
Y'all didn't play against a girl?
No, we didn't play against no girl.
Well, who was the girl in the swimming pool?
I don't know. You have to ask Reggie.
You want a compound full of boys.
I do remember one girl who played on the team. Cause she, I do remember, but I don't remember which team she played on. I don't remember. But I can say this. I do believe if times were different, and what I mean by that is saying that if they would have had all these the way they have it now, you know, they have it all on TV, the Little League, and they have the pools and all of that, I think we probably would have taken it a little bit more serious. But due to the fact that we didn't have all of those things, I think we kind of relaxed a little bit and we got our butts whooped.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but aren't we the only minority team from Texas to even make it that far?
Yeah, we're the only one
from Texas.
From what I've heard, that's true.
And that's something to really just, that's something to just really just think back on and say, wow. I mean, it happened in 81. It was all of us. And since 81, it has not been done again. I mean, that's something awesome right there. That should go down in the Hall of Fame.
that deserves its own radio program.
Yeah,
oh,
sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
So let's go back. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I thought they said that we were in the Hall of Fame down there in Baylor. I never to go down and check.
Well, I went down there and we was on the billboard. But every year they take off one. Like they had like maybe 20 teams up there for each year. And each year they have to take off a year so the board can be completed and they able to get the new team that made it to, that won the state championship. I went down there and saw our name, but had 81, Waco Eastern champions. But then as the years went, we kind of got closer and closer to getting our name put off because they had to put the other teams up there.
I thought I heard that we weren't down there, but like I said, they take in consideration that back then, we were the only minority team that's ever went that far. That's a great accomplishment.
It is, and that's why, this documentary is going to be like a tribute to the 81 team, the championship team, because it's an amazing feat. You think about the other teams that you guys were competing against and the size of these other leagues. You know, Eastern at its height, did it have 24 teams, Jim? 24, maybe 26 teams, something like that. 22 teams on two baseball fields, well-run, oiled machine. Yes, it was great for what it was, but you talked about pulling players. But you look at teams, look at leagues now, they've got 60-some-odd teams. You know, they got 60 teams in their league, and they can pull from so many players. The talent pool, the percentage of talent in the small Eastern League is really what's so amazing. That many people in such a small, concentrated group of people went to the top, and that is amazing. But you guys must have had high expectations.
Oh, yeah. It really, this is right near, I got disconnected a while ago. Hating to lose and, you know, always winning. And, I mean, we just, you know, we had that ambition in us. It was, you know, we were building a start at a young age. And, it just went on from there. And we had to, you know, everybody liked to compete and just kept going on and on like that. So, and me, I don't know who was there was saying something about me, about the most athletic or whatever, but it's just, I mean, we love the game, man. We love sports, period. And it just stayed with us all the way through to high school.
The one thing that made us so good back then was that every player on the team could play every position. I mean, that was the main core. Everyone could play every position. If Coach Miller say, "I need you to play here," it's like.
You're gonna get out there and do it.
You're gonna get out there and do it. I mean,
you're gonna get out there and do it.
If you want to play,
There was not a weak spot on that field.
Where we did
right
have
field,
one
small,
weak
left.
Spot.
Which one was that?
That was Ted Long pitching. Yeah. That was our one weak spot. We knew that when Ted Long was pitching, we knew we had to put up some points. Because when we played Woodway, man, that score was 15-14. We barely beat them. Them two twin boys, they hit so many.
Rod and Todd back then.
Rod and Todd McDaniels. I remember them two twins.
Yeah, that's the
name.
And they was tagged head long up. And I was in right field seeing the ball just fly past me. Because they was left-handed, and they were just knocking them balls every time. I was like, here it come again.
Yeah.
Hey, how did winning that championship, I mean, how did that change your lives or alter or affect your lives in any way? Anyone have anything to say on that?
Let's see.
I mean, like.
Well, I definitely will speak on it.
Yes.
You know, it changed my life in a positive way because, you know, due to the fact that we played Victoria and I had struck out twice, and then to get up there and finally make contact, you know, it gave me courage to believe that I could do whatever I wanted to do and put my mind to doing, you know, and now I'm a preacher today and preaching. And so, you know, which I had a fear of speaking before an audience, but now I'm able to preach, and you know that gave me confidence just to be able to do something like that. You know, it pushed me in life to make some more successful decisions.
It changed. I'm not gonna just really say it changed my life, but it for what we went and did back then and today. That has an impact on my two boys that I have today because I can pull up pictures of our whole team, show my two boys, an 8 and a 14-year-old, how we looked back then. Y'all was bad back then. And just tell them what all we did and tell them the accomplishment that we did back then in 1981. And it makes them feel good, you know, me being part of a winning team back then, and them also to know for that, you know, as good as we were back then, you know, it makes them feel good. Like, my daddy, he the one got the winning hit, you know, to make a win. They all played good, you know, as a team. I guess he was in that spot to – And, you know, when you got the hit, but that makes them feel good, the confidence, so it makes them want to get out and do good their own self, you know, try to, you know, mimic their dad and something like that. But I told them, I said, you know, even though your dad got the winning hit, we were all, everybody won that game. We all put in a hole to win that game. Everybody had a point in that game. Even the ones who didn't play and wasn't out there on the field when it happened.
Like me.
who was that, Rodney?
No, Michael
Shule.
I rolled the bench.
What I'm saying, even though the ones that didn't play and wasn't out there on the field, they were still part of that victory.
And still, they were good, too. I mean, we just had good players. Man.
Everybody was good.
Even though Mike was out and Dad was out, all of them, they were still good. Our whole team was good.
Well, guys, we've got just a few more minutes left in the show, and I want to switch to a couple of topics real quick so that we can maximize, get the most out of your experience. But we talk about players today. I know you were talking about your kids playing and things like that. But aside from your own kids, to other players, potential baseballers, what do you say to these guys to get them interested again in baseball?
Well, I think one of the things that, you know, in reference to where we are today is just our culture. And our culture is, you know, we're more geared toward things that we could be more involved with. And baseball is, you know, to be quite honest, there's a lot of standing around. And if we could get, you know, more inner city kids, African-American kids, and you know, and Jim's doing the best he can, but if we can get more African-American kids and more parental support so that they could see other kids out there playing to just kind of stimulate their interest a little bit. Go ahead.
Jim need to buy a white truck and go around and pick everybody up. Everybody be there. Everybody be there.
But I think more important is just having those pillars in the community who are there, other father figures like Jim, because it's not going to happen overnight. And what those guys did for us back in the day, you know, it didn't happen overnight, but once it got rolling, it was just one of those situations where you just went from one sport to the other. And I know times are a little different today, but, you know, every time I drive by, you know, that area, you know, I'm always thinking about Eastern Little League, and I pray that it gets back where it needs to be.
Yeah. You know, I'm the same way, Reggie. Whenever I ride by Cameron Park, I think about there's a zoo there now, and I often wonder how many balls are they still finding up in those trees out there. You know, we go run the trees and catch those fire balls. And,
yeah,
I bet there are hundreds of balls still stuck in the trees somewhere around there.
And just to kind of expand on that a little bit, and because now I done got on my soapbox, is that when they took that away from us, you know, when the zoo came, and I understand it was a decision that needed to be made by some people, they took our heritage away, because not only was Eastern Little League a baseball complex, it was a place where we got together, a place where if you were looking for somebody, you could go find them at Eastern Little League. And I think taken away from us, that left a big gap,
and
it's still trying to be filled right now. So that's just kind of my take on it.
You're right, Reggie. I mean, it left a big gap because I mean, there's so many memories that's down there, and a bunch of memories. I mean,
well, there'll always be memories. Even though the zoo, though, yeah.
Right. I mean, they did things so different. I mean, back then when baseball players hit foul balls. Whoop get the fat ball, they take their ball up to the concession stand, they get a free snow cone. They get a free snow cone. That's how Eastern was back then. But it's different now.
Yeah, I think they took away our livelihood.
They still got all your home run ball too.
With
the newer leagues now?
Hey, that shit, man. Ain't nobody hit no home run.
I don't know.
I was going to say, I don't know if anyone's hit a home run.
If you can find the ball, somebody can find that.
I think I can hit just one home run. Brian probably one hitting all the home runs.
I hit one home run in both of them fields, major and minor.
I went out of both of them. I'm gonna tell you how good
Brian was when I played for New Hope. Brian, you played with Phi Beta, right?
Mm-hmm.
Brian? Okay. Coach Nolan. Is Brian on the phone?
No, Brian ain't on, but he played
Brian
with
Brian on the phone.
Huh?
Yeah, Brian.
I said no, he ain't on the phone, but he played for Phi Beta.
Okay, yeah, he played for Phi Beta. I played for New Hope. You know, my coach, everybody high side on me. I know y'all going to laugh. Coach Estelle, yo, pitch the ball outside. Don't throw it to him. throw it outside. Yeah. Okay, Brian up there batting. I throw it, I'm pitching. I throw the ball way out to the right. Ball one. Throw it out there again. Ball two. Throw it out there again. Ball three. Coach, just throw it out there again. Okay, I'm on the mound. I throw the ball way out there. Brian, mad and frustrated. I threw my way out there, and Brian stepped, not on the plate, but way over, over the fence. And I'm trying to walk the dude. That's how good Brian was.
Wow. Oh, yeah, Brian was good. Man.
Yeah, Brian was really good.
Well, I tell you know, your team, what y'all put together, all the people that have been involved, you know, I feel grateful that Jim has really kind of taken me into all of these people's homes, and I've gotten to get a good understanding of what the leadership was all about, and the seriousness of the role that they took in the community. They did baseball so that they could get to the kids, not just for the sport, but because they cared. And, you know, that's one thing today. It's like nobody cares. It's hard to get parents involved. It's really hard to get coaches, guys. I mean, to get coaches to show up and get our teams going, we have a really hard time finding people to dedicate volunteer time. And, you know, with your help, with this program, revitalizing Eastern's baseball history, because really there's an incredible history, and I'll give you guys, we've got about 8 minutes left in the program. We'll start at the top, and we'll start with we'll go Andrew, Michael, Reggie, Melvin, and Rodney, and just give me the last thoughts on your. On that 1981 team, and then maybe something, a bit of advice for players today.
I believe the team was just very, very awesome, and we definitely, by just playing, we also got a chance to bond with each other and just know each other, and that's why we still have this friendship and memories together. And so I think that just to give in reference to the kids out there today, you know, you're big, you know, you're producing more than just playing baseball. You know, there's a friendship, there's an everlasting bond that you have with different people. And you could be able to move further by knowing them and just cherishing those things. And I think that's very important.
Yeah. Michael.
And to me, it was a very incredible character building experience, and like Andrew said, it created lifelong memories and friendships amongst us, and it was just a hell of an experience. And I was proud to be able to talk about that and bring these guys' names up in the conversation.
Into the young people today.
To the young people, I want to say something about what Jim is doing. It's really a great thing that Jim is doing. I was surprised to hear that East Little League had formed back up, and I think that's the start. That's a start. What Jim is doing is a great start to get young youth, black youth involved in baseball again, because it is really a good character building sport to play.
Reggie.
Well, I just want to say, you know, to everybody on the phone and whoever else is, you know, has an opportunity to listen, you know, that I respect you guys. I miss you guys. I enjoy being around you guys. And, you know, I hope the best for you. I hope your family's doing well. But the one thing I do want to say is that I hope, you know, that through your relationship with my dad, man, that y'all were able to take something away from that, implement that within your families as a father. And I want to say that just as much as he did for y'all, y'all did a lot for him. And so I want to say to this day that when my son's playing baseball, he's calling out Dee's name, my dad, about how Dee would do something, about how fast Rodney was, about, you know, how Brian pitched. And so he's still, y'all did a lot for him too, so I want y'all to understand that. But in reference to the youth, if they're able to hear this, just for them to know that anything is possible and that as an African-American, we have the ability to do it. It'll take us a little time to catch up with the fundamentals because it takes time. And, you know, and we don't like to wait. We want things right away, you know. But we've got the ability. We've just got to invest the time to create that balance so that we can go out there and compete. Jim, I want to tell you I appreciate you. And just keep it up, man. Just keep it up.
Man, I'm
going to
do my best.
Melvin, yes. I just want to say that, you know, I'm very, very, very grateful for being a part of the team that we had back in 1981. That experience is going to travel with me until I'm not here on this earth anymore. That's something that I'll always be able to talk about to my kids, family, friends, the experience that we had. And hopefully one day, once Jim gets this built up as far as the kids, that they will, Eastern will be able to have a team that is good like we were back then and be able to go the same distance that we did, so they will be able to have the same experience as we did as far as when we won that game and having to go to Florida. I mean, that was back then, that was such a wonderful experience. You know, we flew on a plane back then, but you also have to realize that some of the parents, they never flew on planes. They never been to Florida. So it was just as much as it was an experience for us, it was also an experience for them as well. And like I say, Jim, you keep doing what you're doing, and I'm going to try to dedicate more of my time to try to help you out to get it built up. You know, I wish I could be there with you every day to help it get built up. The work schedule I have now, you know, doesn't allow me to spend that time during the evenings. But anything that you need or want me to help research, try to find, do this and do that, give me a call. You got my number. And I'm quite sure all of us will try to do what we can to get that league built back up the way it was, because we need to have someone, so as far as them, to do exactly what we did. And I think it can be done. I mean, it's a little work, but I think it can be done.
Rodney.
Well, Jim, I appreciate what you're doing as well. And for the youngsters, the young ones, I mean, you just got to, I mean, just give it all you got. And, I mean, just have fun with it like we did when we went to Florida. I mean, it was a fun experience for me. Like I said, my first time traveling, and I mean, just give it all you got.
Well, I want to thank you all again. My name is Duke Machado, and this is the Duke Machado Show. We are always talking about local issues. We're talking about things like this here 1981 Texas Championship Little League team from Waco, from East Waco, Texas. We thank you for tuning in. You can listen to archived audio at Blog Talk Radio. We will share this on Facebook and Twitter and every other place. But my co-producer here, Jim Hamilton, he is on the other line. I'm going to give you the last word. You got 3 minutes.
3 minutes. I don't need three. Man, y'all, I appreciate all the kind words everybody had for me. Man, I'm going to keep doing it because I remember how they was. There were so many people out there who didn't have kids who was helping and who brought the league back to where it was at. So that's why I'm out there now. I mean, you know, I have grandkids, but it's just about all the kids. So I appreciate y'all.
All right. And that is all right, folks.
This is Neil. I'm saying I have a photo of the whole team if you need that.
We are going to need it for the documentary. You better believe it. All right. And
I love you guys. You take care.
All right. Duke Machado. All right. This is the Duke Machado Show.